Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to another dual broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast and the Everything Church-Related Podcast. Today, we have as our guest, retired physician and former assistant professor at Loma Linda University and a celebrated author of several different end-time prophecy books, our good friend, Dr. Richard Ruling. He's coming back to join us again. His ministry is called Total Health, and he teaches how we can focus on physical health as well as spiritual health. Dr. Ruling, it's a sincere blessing to have you back on our program today. And we started off last time by, the first question I always ask, and for those that are joining us for the first time or may not have heard the prior podcast, briefly tell us, who is Dr. Richard Ruling?
Well, thank you. I'm a physician who was planning to be a missionary. I actually spent a summer in South America, and as a student missionary, made me want to be a missionary, and even accepted a call to Africa. Went back to take some public health because people said you'd do more good in Africa if you have that. But then it didn't work out. We were willing, but it just was not right. Yeah. So I ended up teaching at the School of Health in Loma Linda, and was blessed to understand how that most medical problems are really related to what we've eaten since birth. And food is supposed to be our medicine, really, but people abuse and do the wrong thing, including myself. And it was insightful for me to realize that headaches that I had were related to what I ate, in spite of the fact that the neurologist I saw at the medical school didn't think so. Later I learned that he didn't know what he was talking about. So bottom line, and drugs will kill you. They killed my former wife. She didn't abuse it, didn't overdo, just took an antibiotic for a bladder infection and wiped out her platelets, and happily remarried. But bottom line is health care is really not medical care. Medical care has an inverse relationship. More medicine you take, the worse your health will be. So God promised Israel when they came out of Egypt, if you'll do these things, I'll put none of those diseases of the Egyptians on you. And they had all the degenerative diseases we have today by studying the mummies. So bottom line, we can have health, and that's my name of my organization is Total Health. But it's physical, it's mental, it's social, it's spiritual. It's the full picture that God wants us to have, not just do our own thing. So anyway, that's a longer answer than you asked for, but thank you.
That's fine. Amen. Glory to God. Now, right now, I want to focus. Now, at the time of this recording, folks, we're entering the Passover season, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and all of that. And, I want to ask you a couple quick questions about that, Doctor.
Go ahead.
The Jews often link they're linked to the Bible and the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus. The Passover season is what they're celebrating, and the Christians are celebrating the other. What do you think about this subject?
Well, I do believe that God gave in Leviticus 23 some what he calls my feasts. Mm-hmm. And they in that chapter, last verse 44, says they are Moed. Well, Moed comes from Genesis 1:14. God put the sun and the moon in the sky for appointed times, or Moed. And it's his calendar if we get it right. Mm-hmm. And I believe that he did not have only in mind Passover as the Jews celebrate from Egypt, the time of killing of the lamb, and Christians put away that sign because the lamb, we believe that Christ was the lamb,
the Lamb of God,
and he died, Isaiah 53, he went as a lamb to the slaughter for our sins. But we no longer observe them when in reality Paul says in Colossians 2:17 that they are shadows of things to come. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just the sacrifice. We don't have to do the sacrifices and kill lambs, but it was also a time of judgment. And in the book of Revelation, we're supposed to proclaim a time of judgment. In Revelation 14, angel means messenger, and these the messengers is flying to everywhere, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, telling them of time of God's judgment. And the Greek word is crisis, spelled with a K, K-R-I-S-I-S. And the whole world's in a crisis today. I believe that message of judgment is impending, but it will also focus on Passover, as the Bible teaches us that the flood came with Passover timing, although it was the second spring month.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment fell on Christ at Passover. Judgment fell on Jerusalem at Passover when Titus came in 70 A.D. And I believe that this year could see huge stuff. But specifically, while most of the world is observing Passover next weekend, not this one,
mm-hmm.
I believe that that might be flawed in timing because if you think about it, the Passover comes on a full moon. And next week is a full moon, but the new moon, the beginning of the month, really began before the equinox. And anciently, it began. They started the year with the first new moon after the equinox in the spring when it gets started. So if nothing huge happens next weekend, I get a pass on that. And I'm saying let's look and see what happens at the end of April instead of the end of because I believe that trouble is signaled for Jerusalem. The text for that is. Zechariah 14, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The day of the Lord comes, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle."
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, I sent you some links. I don't know if you had a chance to look at them or not.
Yep.
But
yep.
WorldNet Daily published 57 nations are asked to besiege Jerusalem. Hello?
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so if they really do that, or even if half a dozen of them do that, in my opinion, it could Jerusalem gets surrounded a month from now or next, if it happens a week from now. Hey, if it happens from a week from now, I honor this first Passover as valid, okay? But if it doesn't happen till a month from now, that's the one that counts. Because I believe specifically that seven mini parables point to a second Passover as the days of Noah. And the reason why the flood had Passover timing in Noah's time is because Noah, it says the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven opened on the 17th day. But Noah was in the ark for 7 days, so he went in on the 10th, and in Exodus 12:3, the 10th day was when they selected the Passover sacrifice. They set apart a lamb. So when people didn't go into the ark, Noah would invite them, anybody wants to, come. Well, they were all afraid to be laughed at,
Right.
And But, I would have thought if I'd have been living in that day, it would be very nervous for me to see all those animals going in.
Yeah. even the wild animals were tame then.
Yes, yeah. So anyway, Passover timing, but other clues also from Matthew 24 and 5, the next parable says, "Then shall two be in the field," and then means same time or as a direct consequence.
Yep.
And so I'm seeing seven things. Basically, if Jerusalem gets besieged, I see that there'll be seven things happening suddenly about a month later that could, and because there are seven different, they're all different aspects of the same thing.
Right.
If there's a huge earthquake, which I believe is going to happen to initiate the end time, we will see martial law. We will see persecution begin. We will see the good man, if he'd have known, would have watched, not suffered his house to be broken. I think if we watch and pray on the eve of second Passover, we can be spared, and the house won't break. In other words, God can protect us just like he protected them in Egypt when they watched. They were to eat the Passover and leave nothing till morning. And we can do that, that's in our homes and so on. And I'm not saying anyone has to do this now, but if Jerusalem gets besieged, we need to have one more broadcast next month, a month from now, whenever, afterward, to clarify
see what's
this
next.
Better for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if they get surrounded and stuff, I'll be reaching out saying, hey, we need to do another broadcast.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Let's see what's next,
Well, right.
Let's shift gears a little bit, because I feel us putting our foot on the accelerator here. What do you think about, let's just say, the missile bases that Iran has put near Syria's border? I mean, Iran is threatening they're going to level Tel Aviv if Israel does anything in any way. What do you think about that situation, and what does it forebode for the Middle East?
Well, I'm glad you asked, and thank you. When Christ was asked about the end of the world, he included the book of Daniel to study and understand.
Yeah.
And it's not studied as it should be, but in the book of, in eighth chapter of Daniel, there's an interesting historical thing of a ram and a goat. And it even names in verse 20 the Medes and Persians. The one of the horns on the ram was the kings of the Medes, and the other was the king of Persia, okay? And a goat came and flew and broke both horns. So that those kings and historians tell us that this happened in 331 A.D. B.C. I'm sorry, before Christ, the Battle of Arbela. Okay, Alexander the Great broke the Medes and Persians. Okay, the hooker is on this, that Gabriel tells Daniel in verse 17. This vision is at the time of the end.
Right.
And
right.
So the shocker is that the Medes and Persians are Iraq and Iran today, and we have already broken one horn. You know, in other words, we're into this thing, and I would bet everything we're gonna clobber Persia or Iran, but maybe not before Jerusalem gets leveled or what, you know, in other words, big trouble, which I'm looking for to introduce the end times. And so that's the other side of the coin. They get it basically in the Middle East. Now I don't know about in this country. Maybe they will retaliate. You know, with all the Muslims in Europe, I saw one thing on WorldNet Daily saying that Europe will be Muslim. You know, well,
they're almost there.
They made
now.
Some dumb mistakes. Yeah, right.
One of the things that you know, as far as Bible prophecy, it really jumped out at me is that. Damascus will be spared until the time of the end, you know. And right now, Damascus is laying in a heap of ruins.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, that's, you know, it's never been conquered like that, or, you know, destroyed like that in battles and stuff. And here it is. You know, the Bible says that it'll be destroyed. Now it's destroyed in our day. That's just another little, you know, dart on the wall.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned. Now, I want to try and cover one more subject. And that's the cahoots coordination between the Pope, you know, the Catholic Church, the UN and the USA. You say that you can see this in Revelation chapter 13. Can you explain that?
Okay, good. I appreciate the question. And first of all, let me just say that coming from Daniel, which Christ said to understand, in chapter 7, we see four beasts typifying the four great kingdoms of the world, a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a dragon-like beast with 10 horns.
Right.
But if you come to Revelation 13, the first beast out of the sea has a mouth like a lion, feet like a bear, looks like a leopard, but has the total of 7 heads and 10 horns, as Daniel 7 did. So this is an amalgamated beast, which I believe represents the papacy that survived all those. In other words, ancient Babylon is no longer here today. Ancient Medo Persia, no, Grecia is gone, you know. But here is the papacy today, big and bright and beautiful, as that beast is, I suppose.
Yep.
But it had a deadly wound, it says in verse 3, and that was the Protestant Reformation. But then it says the deadly wound healed. And we just celebrated 500 years of you know, and so they had joint communion. The deadly wound is healed, so to speak, you know.
Yep.
And all the world is worshiping that beast, saying, who is like the beast and who can make war? He sounds like a man of peace, you know, but ooh. And then there's a second beast. Now, first of all, let me say that first beast comes out of the sea. But Revelation 17, verse 15 says, the waters where the whore sits are nations and multitudes and tongues and peoples. In other words, it's the populated old world. That's where the papacy is, okay?
Yep.
But then comes a beast out of the land, opposite, and I believe this represents America. Early Americans believed, some of them did, that beast coming out of the land represented wilderness, and America grew up in a wilderness place. It had two horns like a lamb, it says, but they were uncrowned. The previous beasts had crowns, so government without a king and church without a pope. Protestant America, okay, and then it causes fire to come down from heaven. That's Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and it causes the world to make an image or look-alike to the previous beast. Well, the image we've made is UN. We're making a governmental system that looks like the old world order. Only we call it new world order, you know. But it will really be like it because the Pope will be in charge ultimately. I believe that that's the case. I believe that that's why when in Rwanda they had so many UN vehicles on the streets of Kilgali that if you spit, you'd probably hit one of those vehicles. That's what they said on a documentary. But all those soldiers were ordered to stand down and don't do anything. Just let the genocide happen. They didn't say let the genocide happen, but they said let the local government handle it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because the local government was pro-Catholic, the Tutsis were Protestant, and nearly a million were wiped out. Mm-hmm. And the church later says, sorry, you know, as if, what's that, you know.
Yeah.
Bottom line. Not good, and the New World Order will not be good either. In fact, it will compel everybody to false worship. It says it will cause everybody to be marked so that you can't buy or sell unless you go along with the system. Mm-hmm. But, I believe that time is impending soon, and we don't know everything that the Pope said when he came to Congress. You know, we just get a few headlines, a nice guy. He's coming to talk about global warming. And, hey, just right now today, WorldNet Daily has a article on how the scientists fudged 2.5 degrees to make global warming when it was not. There's 2.5 degrees less. Hey,
yeah.
You know, and talk to the east about about global warming right now. It's pretty cold back there. So, you know, and that by the way is also another reason why I don't think this a week from now is first Passover is. Because when summer is nigh for the fig tree, and the summer is not nigh in the east right now.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So
I remember back in the 70s when I was reading this stuff, global warming, it wasn't global warming, it was global cooling. They were threatening the next ice age was coming, you know?
Yeah.
You remember that?
But I accept that, and I just believe that the Pope had no business coming to tell our Congress that in order to help global warming and get rid of greenhouse gases, we should shut everything down on Sunday so people can have... They're out ostensibly as family values. Well, family values is fine, but as a Sabbatarian, God provided the Sabbath, seventh day, you know, and I'm not trying to get anybody to join that church. I believe that church is in apostasy, too. But I believe we need to understand the issues of what's behind the scenes, because Congress should make laws to enforce the second half of the Decalogue. You know, everybody should not kill, steal, lie, commit adultery. Those things, commandments should support that. But they have no business telling people how to worship God on the first, you know. It says if people want to make images and they can have them in their church if they want, you know, and the Catholic Church does, that's up to them. Congress should not tell them to take the images out. And they shouldn't tell me when to go to church, you know,
right,
either, you know.
Right.
So it should not favor, there should be no establishment favoring the institution of a church or religion. But they're going to do it. That's what the Bible says, in my opinion.
You mentioned the mark of the beast, you know, and all that. And today on the news, the big talk, and again, this is recorded, so I'm talking about on March 23rd. 2018, for those that listen to this later, it was announced that the president, you know, had enacted his, was going to enact his Chinese tariffs, and the Chinese were retaliating in kind. And, the stock market had dropped and all that, and the news people are talking about, oh, this is the beginning of the next tariff war. Well, you know, how does that, I mean, everything right now is going to this electronic. You got a debit card, you know, your credit cards are all connected to computers and all this stuff. How do you see the economic impact of about what is about to take shape as far as, you know, is this the beginning of the approach to the mark of the beast, you know, where people have to get microchips in their hands and stuff like that?
Good question. I believe that the God is a fair God, and he's going to give equal time to both sides. And if people will look at Revelation 11, God first gives power to his side. And it says in Revelation 11, verse 3, I'll give power to my two witnesses. I believe it's the Old and New Testament, but lived and expressed through his people. And verse 6 says, they have the power to shut the heavens that it rain not, and power over waters to turn them to blood. Those represent the powers of water to blood is what Moses did, and shutting the heavens is what Elijah did. And I believe that God is going to give his side power for 42 months, it says. That's 3.5 years. And verse 7 says, when they finish their testimony, the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit. And that beast, in Revelation 13, we've already talked about it being the papacy, and verse 5 says power was given him to continue 42 months. Well, that's after the deadly wound heals in verse 3. Deadly wound is, you know, we saw that healed last September, October, when they celebrated joint communion. But power is going to be given, but it's after God's side gets power first. And so, but basically what I believe is going to happen, to address your economic question, is that if there is a huge earthquake this spring, I believe in the fall, when we have what they call the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, yeah. Okay, it says that for the first trumpet, it says all the green grass burned up on the earth. Well, if that were literal, we'd be finished, you know. Mm-hmm. If all the grass on the earth were, how could we survive it? Mm-hmm. But my point is, it has a spiritual application, and in James, in the King James Bible, in James 1, 9-11, it likens grass to rich men. As the flower of the grass, mm-hmm. so shall the rich men fade. And my point is that it doesn't mean the rich men will be dead. It just means they're no longer rich.
Right,
you know,
right.
And I believe it's just as God dealt with Egypt and attacked the gods of Egypt, when they worship the Nile turns to blood, they worship cattle got disease. I believe there's economic collapse coming, but it will wait until that Rosh Hashanah first trumpet after an earthquake. In Revelation 8:5, there's an earthquake, and then it says the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepare to sound, and when the first angel sounds, all the green grass burns up. So I believe there's a sequence, if we see a huge, first of all, in my opinion, if Jerusalem is surrounded literally, I believe all of this is coming. I believe that it includes the seven mini parables. First, I'll just go through them real quickly, but mm-hmm. the first one is the fig tree, and I believe that the fig tree in Christ's time represented the Jewish nation. Remember, that same week that he, Matthew 24 is given, he also gave Matthew, it was after the triumphal entry to Jerusalem on Sunday, Palm Sunday, he cleansed the temple. And on his way one morning, he saw a fig tree that had lots of leaves that looked like it would have fruit, but he couldn't find any fruit. It was the nature of that fig tree in that locale that when it had leaves, it would also have fruit.
Right.
But so he cursed the fig tree as a expression of what the Jewish nation was, professing fruit, but they were fruitless. They were just selfish and not open to light. Well, America's that way today. You know, we have had light against but we are killing 60 million abortions since we've Roe v. Wade, and we have redefined marriage. This is babbling. This isn't a godly thing that began 200 years ago. And so, bottom line is that the first parable represents the U.S., then as the days of Noah, destruction is going to be widespread, then shall two be in the field, one taken. I think martial law, end of our freedoms, especially for those in the cities. And I would encourage anybody to have an exit plan, as somebody else once said. There were in 66 A.D., when Christians saw the Roman general by the name of Cestius come with his troops, they saw that as the sign to flee Jerusalem, and they got out of there, and they were spared the siege. Well, today, we're so used to the Pope going here, going there, going everywhere, that we don't think anything about it. Mm-hmm. Well, but serious signs have been given about fleeing, and in the city is not the place to be. God didn't make, Cain built the first city. He was a murderer, mm-hmm. and God intended his people to live in a rural situation. Where they could grow their flocks and herds and cultivate and so on and exchange. So we have a problem, And the martial law is followed. The next parable is, if a good man had known, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken. I think the earthquake will do that. Then the evil servant begins to smite his fellow servants. I believe there will be persecution early on. I look for Seventh-day Adventists to be persecuted because they, more than any others, have been in the face of the papacy. But I'm not trying to get anybody to go there because I believe that church is in apostasy. They don't recognize the importance of those feast days, for example, Passover. And then shall the kingdom of heaven be like 10 virgins, and it's an opportunity for a wedding and a marriage parables. And so before we finish this broadcast, I'd like to talk about that too, but maybe I've covered too much already.
No, that's not a problem. I want to go back to something you mentioned, is the Feast of Trumpets. There are some prophecy experts that think that, well, they've established it through that all of the feast festivals have been recognized, with the exception of they've been completed in Christ so far, with the exception of the Feast of Trumpets. They say that's when he's returning to this earth. What do you say?
Well, I believe he may come at that time. I'm not certain of it, but on the other hand, when you say fulfilled, I believe the word fulfilled is filled full, and they're not all filled full. There are applications, and I give you one already with Daniel 8, the ram and the goat, Alexander the Great, but it wasn't filled full because in the time of the end, it has another fit, okay, with our time, and so... I think those trumpets, if we see economic collapse or an earthquake, my favorite author says trumpet after trumpet is to be sounded, and I believe that we haven't done them all yet. I believe that we will see an earthquake to initiate the end times, just like it says in Joel 2, verses 10 and 11, the day of the Lord is at hand, and there's an earthquake. And again, in Zephaniah 1, verse 7, the day of the Lord is at hand, and verse 10 says there's a great crashing from the hills. That being an earthquake, I take it as that. Mm-hmm. So I believe earthquake it will be, by the way, that's how the ancient church of Laodicea ended, was in an earthquake in 63 AD. So it's high type and antitype. We're not there yet. We're getting ready. And I think the San Andreas Fault in California is said to be locked, loaded, ready to go. And I just think we will see something huge in this country.
Yeah, and, you know, when I was growing up in the Midwest, I mean, I think in the 20 years of my youth, there may have been one minor earthquake, like down in Missouri, is like a 1.5 or something, you know.
Yeah.
Now, Oklahoma experiences them on a daily basis.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. Unfortunately, we're all out of time for today's episode, but come back tomorrow because Richard Ruling is hitting on some hot topics that you see in the news today, and he's tying them in with Bible prophecy to give you an accurate picture of where we're at on the biblical timeline. So come back tomorrow for part two of our interview with Richard Ruling. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.